Over the past couple of weeks, I and the team have been speaking about what we're going to call my NAS, your NAS, my NAS, but cat5.tv/my NAS is where I'm going to put all the links for the products that we're going to be looking at. The discussion has been surrounding the decision, okay, well, do we go with USB 3.0 so that we can also gain the eSATA port, which is going to give us up to 6 gigabits per second, or do we go straight to USB 3.1 Rev2, which theoretically can give us up to 10 gigabits per second. However, the one caveat about that is that the device that we're going to be connecting it to, which is an Odroid XU4 single board computer, is only capable of USB 3.0 with UASP. So that's going to be 5 gigabits per second. That's a lot of numbers to be throwing out at you. It's a lot of numbers for old Robbie to remember in this bald head of his, but it all makes sense to me. The decision was made, though, to go future ready and go with USB 3.1 Rev2. So we're going to be able to access our NAS unit at 5 gigabits per second from the Odroid XU4. But keep in mind, our connectivity to our NAS is going to be based on gigabit Ethernet anyways, because the Ethernet port on that board is 1,000 megabits per second or whatever. So even though I can communicate with the drives at 5 gigabits a second, the communication then to the XU4 is only going to be 1 gigabit a second. So the theoretical result of that is that the communication between the brains of our NAS is still going to be 5 times as fast as our actual throughput to and from that NAS unit itself. So I've got this this device at cat5.tv/my NAS. And let's get a quick look at it. Now, I've put two drives in here, obviously not very stably. We'll work on that in just a second. This guy just fell right out. That's okay. Okay, so I've got 2 4-terabyte drives that I've just simply plugged into the back plane, because I was just kind of playing around with this just before the show to see how it operated. I didn't even really turn it on. I just wanted to see that I could plug these drives in and see how they connect. So I have 2 4-terabyte drives from my old backup unit, and the idea behind this is I'm going to be able to use this device as basically just multiple drives connected to my computer. So this is a NAS enclosure. Well, not a NAS enclosure. This is a hard drive enclosure. There's a big difference when you're shopping around for these kinds of things. So keep this in mind. What I opted for is not a NAS unit. That's not what we want. We want a device that gives me access to these drives as external hard drives. So this has 4 SATA backplanes. The backplane will take up to 4 SATA drives. And with that, I'm going to see 4 new hard drives, just like as if I plugged in a USB external hard drive on my computer. That's the theory behind it. So there's no RAID happening here. There's no mirroring. There's nothing. It's just 4 drives connected to my Linux machine, the XU4. So then using the amazing software that comes with Linux, I'm going to be able to, because Linux is like the server OS, right? We're going to learn this week, and we've learned from the top 500 that like Linux is where it's at for servers. So because they're going to be showing up as 4 individual SATA external hard drives, I can do whatever I want with them. So we're going to play around with mirroring, creating arrays. We're going to be checking out all the various things that we can do. But this device will take up to 4 drives. So we can decide how we want to segment the data across those 4 drives. I've just got 2 drives for the sake of the demonstration today. And this is what it looks like. So there we have it. And it's just simply a very basic SATA backplane that gives me access to these drives. So as far as the mounting goes, there is really no drive trays or anything like that. There are these little plastic guys that are going to go on the front of the drive, which just gives it a little bit more pressure to push it into the backplane. So these just go in like this. Drive number 1. And that squeezes right into the backplane. Drive number 2, both 4 terabytes, just because these are pulls from my my old backup. Let's see here. You can see that better than I can. And there we go. Straight in there. And then this guy here is just going to go right on top. And clip in like so. I think I've almost got that. It clips in anyways. And then you close the door and you're good to go. So should we fire it up and just kind of see how this is going to show up on our computer? I've got my laptop here. And what I'm going to do is let's zoom in first of all and do a ls/dev/sd*. I just want to see what's there. So I only have one hard drive in my laptop, and that is my SDA. Let's also bring up, going to zoom out here a little bit, and I'm going to bring up gpartEd, just so that we can get a look at what this is going to look like as far as hard drives go. So there is my SDA, and that's the only hard drive available in my computer. So to power it on, there's just a power button here. And what I have is I've got USB 3.1, USB-C to a USB standard A cable to plug into my laptop. And that is the same cable I'm going to use to connect it into my XU4. Now, I just heard a ding on my laptop, so let's see what's going on here. So in gpartEd, what do we see? I'm going to go gpartEd, refresh devices over here. Now I have two 3.64 terabyte drives is what it's showing. Both unallocated space. That's good news. All right, over here, let's zoom in a little bit and let's run that same command. And now we see we have SDB, SDC, SDD, and SDE. Now, I imagine, we're seeing SDD and SDE. So understand these are drive allocations as far as how Linux segments the devices. So we've got SDA is my actual internal hard drive on my laptop. SDB is presumably the first slot in this. If they are sequential, SDC would be the second, SDD would be the third, and SDE would be the fourth. If I'm right, then we're going to find that we're able to, we can confirm that again by going into gpartEd. That's a quick way to confirm it anyways. Well, if I knew my password and entered it correctly. Yes, SDB and SDC. So SDB is going to be my first drive in the chassis. SDC is going to be my second. So what am I going to do? Well, first of all, I want to format these XFS. So I'm going to need a couple of tools. So sudo su and log in as super user. And I'm going to go apt update. Move this over a little bit for you folks at home. Do I want to accept these changes? Why, yes. Yes, I do. All right. Apt install XFS progs. Ah, look at that. I've already got it. Okay, so what file system would you consider for your NAS? You might think ext4. You might even think, like, maybe ButterFS. Now, there's a couple of things that that I would consider when I'm creating this array. First of all, XFS is a modern file system that has a virtually limitless number of files that I can have on my NAS, so on my file system. So it's unbelievable. Like, it's like to the power of, we can't even count that high. It allows massive capacity drives, and it's a modern journaling file system. Now, ButterFS, it's a great file system. I love ButterFS. However, I still feel like there is some concern, some worry about ButterFS with unexpected power loss. And sometimes that can happen. We've had power outages here in our local community where the power has been out so long that the UPS finally gives up. And if that happens, I don't want to have data loss or parity issues. So XFS is able to maintain its file system much more adequately because ButterFS has an issue where it can actually lose parity data if the power goes out. So that's something that I want to avoid in my array, because if I ever lost any parity data in my array, then if a drive failed, then I would have problems rebuilding my data and I could potentially have some data loss. That's exactly what I want to avoid. So now that I have XFS progs installed, which gives me makefs, now let's partition our drive. So, and notice I'm doing this in the terminal, folks. I want to do this in the terminal so that you can see how it's actually done. We could use the GUI, but I want you to be able to do this in the terminal. So fdisk, we know that it's going to be dev/sdb. That's my first one, okay? So if I do a P, I can see that this is a 4 terabyte drive. See there, 3.7 terabytes. And then it's like 4 point blah, blah, blah bytes. It's all like rounded to 1024. So we're going to create a new partition. Now, if you need help, just push M and enter, because M stands for what? Help. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. But you see, of course, the first command that we're going to need is N for a new partition. So press N, enter. Partition number, I'm just going to hit enter, and then first sector, enter, and then last sector, enter, because I want to use the whole drive. Do you want to remove the signature? And what's that asking me? Hey, this drive already has a file system on it, and it is a encrypted CryptoLux signature, probably created with Lux dump, as you are already aware, because that's my old backup. Remember I mentioned that? But I know that I have now got a new backup, so this one is redundant and not needed, and redundant to the point where it can be destroyed, and I'm not losing anything. So do I want to remove that signature? Yeah. Okay, there we go. So I'm going to write it out with W, and I'm done. So now if I do an fdisk-l/dev/sdb, I should see that I now have SDB1, which is my first partition on SDB, the first drive in my chassis, and it is a full 3.7 terabyte, and it's set up for a Linux file system. Now, I can't mount it yet because there is no file system, so makefs, so mkfs.xfs, because we chose the XFS file system. You could also do ext4. Right? But we're going to do XFS, and I'm going to go dev SDB1. Now, one of the things that's really, really nice about XFS is the speed at which it formats the drive. This is a 4 terabyte drive, and I would say it's probably going to be able to format that drive like in a tenth of the time that it would take for ext4 or something similar. So far, I have one drive that is formatting XFS. I've partitioned it. It has a full 4 terabyte partition, we'll say 3.7 terabytes, and I'm formatting it with XFS using the Linux terminal. So this could be my, and part of why I want to show you this in the terminal is because this could be my XU4, which I could be SSH'd into, and this could be connected to the external USB. That's already finished formatting, 4 terabytes. Can you believe that? Done. So now I could actually mount that. So if I created a mount point, so let's go /mnt, let's make a mount point, make dir in mnt. I'm going to call this, I'll just call it SDB1 just for fun, because it's easy to understand what that means. And I think when I was learning Linux as a rookie Linux user, I think mount points were something that really confused me. And so if you've never worked with mount points before in the terminal, or you're not sure how this works, feel free to ask questions, but I'll do my best to explain it. Linux works a lot different than, say, Windows. Windows uses, like, when you plug in a drive, it's like your C drive, it's your D drive, it's your E drive, and so on. Now, Linux, you can plug in 10 drives, and none of them have a drive letter. They can just be, like, one of them can be your boot, and one of them can be your root, and one of them can be your home folders, one of them can be your backup, and they're all connected through the file system structure. So in this case, I'm going to be putting that one drive on /mnt/sdb1, because I created a mount point, aka a folder, at that point. But where it can get confusing is when I first started learning this stuff, I would go into SDB1 now that I've created this folder, and I might put some files there, but then I wouldn't even realize that the drive is not currently mounted. So any files that I put there are in fact going on my SDA, right? The built-in hard drive on my laptop, because I have not yet connected this drive to that mount point. So the way that I'm going to do that, And there are ways to permanently do that, but to temporarily do that just to test, I'm going to go mount slash dev slash SDB one, because we know that that's our first partition on that drive, which we formatted XFS. And then I'm going to mount that to slash MNT slash SDB one. So what I'm telling it is mount this partition, SDB one in dev, to this mount point, AKA folder, SDB one. Hit enter. Now, if I go into SDB1, it looks exactly the same. However, anything I do here is actually going on the external hard drive. So now if I go back one folder and I unmount that, which is the command is actually umount SDB1. Now, if I go back into SDB1 and do an ls, look, it's empty. Well, where'd my files go? Because right now I'm actually looking at SDA. Because it's not mounted. Go back again and type my mount command. Go back in. Now I am, in fact, looking at the external hard drive. So that test file that I created is on the very first drive in this NAS chassis, in our chassis, our external chassis, right there. And if it's not mounted, I won't be able to access those files. So there's one other thing that I can do, which is very, very helpful, because what can happen, let's unmount that, SDB1. So now it's not mounted, okay? SDB1. If I look, now what can happen is I'm going to touch test 2. Okay, so now there's a file called test 2. Now, if I go back and I run my mount command, watch what can happen. Do you notice? Okay, so test 2 is there, right? Now, go into SDB1 and do an ls. And it's test. Well, where the heck did test 2 go? I've lost my file. No, I haven't, because test 2 was on SDA because it wasn't mounted. So now I get confused. This is where I was at when I was just a rookie Linux user. Because if it wasn't mounted, or if I forgot to mount my drive, or if I didn't mount it correctly, or I mounted it in the wrong place, I put files on the mount point unmounted, so they wouldn't end up on my external drive. So why does that matter? What if I ran a backup? What if I was backing up my SDA drive to my SDB1, but it wasn't mounted? I would actually be copying the files from my SDA to my SDA, the same hard drive. So then that hard drive crashes, my backup is useless. Absolutely useless. So how can I fix that? Well, if I unmount that drive, so umount SDB1, because I'm in the mount folder. Go back in there. I'm going to remove test 2. And now go back. And now watch this. Chatter. C-H-A-T-T-R plus I. That means make it immutable. Make it so that it can't be written to. And then SDB1. Okay. So now if I go into SDB1 and I try again to touch test 2... It says no such file or directory. What is it? Well, I know there's a file, a directory. Why can't I touch my file? Oh, I haven't mounted my directory yet. I haven't mounted my drive. So it's important to do that, because now I can't write anything to the mount point. So now it will only work. My backup will only function if the drive is in fact mounted. So let's jump back here. Now that it is immutable, I can't do anything here. I can't make a directory in here. It will say operation not permitted. Go up a folder, and now let's run our mount command again. So I'm pushing Control R to be able to go back in my history. And now if I notice it mounted just fine. Now I'm going to go back into SDB1, and now you see my test file. Let's try touching test 2. I can't type and talk. Test 2. There we go. So now you notice that it did work because it is mounted. All right. So this is, in fact, the SDB1, the external hard drive now. And if you're not sure if it's mounted, watch this. Mount. It gives me a list of all the drives that are mounted. Well, that's a whole bunch of cruft. So mount pipe grep SDB1. That just gives me the one line that shows SDB1. So this shows me that dev SDB1 is mounted on slash MNT slash SDB1. Well, what happens if I unmount it and run that exact same command? No output, because it's not currently mounted. So I know I need to mount it. Do it again. There we go. Now run that command. So what is it doing? It's mount, which gives me an output of all of the mounted stuff, right? But then I'm grepping, which is basically the Linux equivalent of, hey, search that output for this, SDB1, and hit enter. And that could be anything. I could search for dev, and it will give me everything that contains the word dev. Well, no, I don't need that. I just want SDB1. And that gives me, and it's a little bit cluttered when I have it like that, but there you go. So you can see that I have dev SDB1 on MNT/SDB1, and the type is XFS. That's my file system, and it's ready to go. So I have my first drive ready to go in my NAS. Second drive is going to be exactly the same, except we know that it is my SDC. So I'm going to go through those same steps in order to create that. Now, because this is not a RAID unit, I can put in 4-terabyte drives. I got my 2 4-terabyte drives. I can also put in a 1 terabyte in addition to that. And I can put in a 500 gig. So I can use a mix of drives, and it's going to, each one is going to show up as STB, SDC, SDE, D, and E. And then you're going to have access to each of them. Now, with a RAID, of course, if you had 2 4-terabytes, well, you could set those up as a RAID 1, but then if you had a 1-terabyte and a 500 gigabyte, you couldn't really connect those together and use them. What we're going to be doing over the course of this series is we're going to be demonstrating how we can actually use this unit, or a unit similar to this, in order to create arrays using Linux tools that will allow me to intermix drives, to be able to create redundancy. We're going to be creating all kinds of really cool stuff so that you can understand the underlying file system idiosyncrasies. And I think even tonight you may have learned a couple of things. Please comment below. Let me know what you did learn here, and if anything is of particular interest that I've spoke on tonight. And through the course of the series, we're going to be learning all kinds of things like that. The little trinkets behind the UI that we're used to. Like, we may install an interface on our NAS unit, and all we ever see is the web interface. Well, we're going to be working under the hood so that we understand how it all works and keeping our data safe. So that's pretty cool. Hey, we've got to take a really quick break. I'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome back. This is Category 5 Technology TV. Now, our broadcast is live, even though you're watching this on demand. We do have some questions coming in our Discord chat. First question comes from Marshman asking, okay, how is my laptop that I'm demonstrating on connected to the NAS? Now, I mentioned it at the top of the show, but you may not have caught it. And I'm just going to power this off because I have unmounted it with the umount command. So I'm just going to hold in that power button to power off those drives so I can safely move it. There it goes. Remember that these are spinning drives. You don't want to move this while they're spinning because you can actually cause damage to the physical platters of the drive. There are needles, basically, we're going to call them. Think of an old record, right? Like a record player, LPs. You've got heads that hover on a very small cushion of air over top of very sensitive magnetic platters. So if I move this while it is powered on, those platters are moving at 7,200 rotations per minute. And so if I move it in such a way that the head touches the platter, scratch, data loss, possible hard drive failure. So I always power this off before I move it. How am I connecting it? I'm just unplugging the power here. This is the back of the unit. And all I have is a USB-C cable. Okay, so that's what it is on this end. Now, on the laptop end, I'm just going to unplug that here. This is the other end of that same cable. So I've got USB-C and I've got USB-A. So this allows me to plug it into a laptop or any other USB 3.0 device. So that's my Odroid XU4. That's the what we hope to achieve through the course of this this project, is to actually power this from a single board computer. The reason that I've chosen the XU4 is because it supports UASP. That's USB attached SCSI protocol, which means it's going to be able to get 5 gigabits per second data transfer to the device. Unlike standard USB, it's going to be a lot faster. You're looking at a fair percentage more. So that's how I was connected. This was not an SSH connection or anything like that. This was a direct USB connection, exactly like it will be with our Odroid XU4. Reason I'm not looking at it on an Odroid XU4 tonight, and I'm actually doing this using my laptop, is strictly for the sake of the demonstration. This is a series of demonstrations and projects that are going to be leading to our MyNAS. So cat5.tv/MyNAS is where it's all going to come together. But the XU4 is going to be one of the steps in the process of creating this unit. But I wanted to show you the kind of underlying way that we're going to be setting things up. And I want you to learn how some of these little Linux commands work in the terminal as well, because everything's going to be done in the terminal. Any other questions for us? BP9, you're very welcome. The foo calling this DAS. Yes, right now in this instant, this is direct attached storage. The idea is that we're going to be taking this DAS unit and turning it into a pseudo NAS or backup system using an XU4. So the XU4 is going to become the brains of this, and then I'm going to be able to access it as network-attached storage. So I'm not going to have to plug it into my laptop. No, I'm going to be able to access it through Wi-Fi, through Ethernet, and those kinds of things. Did I miss any other questions? Now, I'm watching the chat room on my phone, and so the screen is comparatively small, and things do tend to kind of fly by the screen. So if there are any other questions about the project or what I'm teaching here tonight, I'm wide open. Great to see everybody here, and appreciate you being here. I think that was really the main question. Eh? BP9? Yeah, okay, so you get it now. Wondering how I was able to connect directly to the NAS unit, because it's not a NAS, and exactly like the foo says, it's direct attached storage in this instance. That's all going to be changing, though. And if you're not familiar with an XU4, Odroid XU4, it is a microcomputer. So think of a Raspberry Pi. It's a very, very small computer. Fits in my pocket right here. I wish I had it with me. But there, I actually, if you can excuse me for one moment, I can grab one. I have one just off the set here. Here we go. So this is an Odroid XU4Q. And the Q stands for quiet, because it has this massive heat sink. So this is the board that is going to power our NAS unit. So when this becomes a NAS, this is going to be the computer, the brains, that is going to power it. It's got Debian Linux, Debian 10 on here, on a micro SD right now. It's going to be on eMMC. And then we're going to be setting up some form of mounting in order to hide this in such a way that it's going to be part of the unit itself, and something that we can just put into a room in the, you know, if you have a closet or something, that you can set that up and just run an Ethernet cable to this that has gigabit Ethernet, and that's going to give you full access to all the files and make your backups and everything else. So, all right, thanks for the questions, everybody. I welcome your questions. You can email live at category5.tv if you have any more.